Well, yeah, that's one case that we've been looking at. We've been looking at some different things that's going on. Up here, we have a similar case of a young lady, Kendra, who died in, an 18-year-old who died inside of a county jail about an hour or two after she was picked up, and no one could tell us why. They have no reason why. So we have a similar case up here in Alabama. We also got Miss Thompson, who I believe will be coming on. We also got Miss Thompson, who I believe will be calling in, or I think that's her that's already called in, that we'll be talking about what's going on with her grandson in prison. One of the things that I want us to do on this show tonight is figure out what can we do, what kind of solutions. I got the Thomas family that will be calling in, who suffers from their brother slash son being shot and killed 3 years ago on June 28th in Dothan, Alabama, as well as the Massey family. So we'll be discussing that, and one of the things I want us to also come up with are solutions. What can we do? Because a lot of people just feel like there's nothing they can do. And if that's you, Ms. Thompson, then I want you to go ahead and tell us and tell all the people that's listening across America what is going on with your grandson.
Okay, my grandson is in the Florida correctional facilities. He's at the Lake Butler Medical Center, has been there for 2 years in the hospital. He's battling pancreatic cancer. Now that it has spread throughout his body, we've asked them to release him, give him a medical release. The department put in a medical release for him. After they put it in, the state attorney here in Polk County, Florida, where the sheriff, Grady Judge, they went to the hearing to ask them to release him because the guy, he had threatened the guy, and the guy said he's afraid. 5 months ago, they released a Mr. Torres. You can look it up. 5 months ago from the same prison, he had murdered someone. They released him on a medical release, but they have my grandson who's dying of pancreatic cancer and will not, say they will not put him on the docket simply because they said that guy is afraid of him. How can he be afraid of a man who's lying up dying, very sick today? The prison called me and told me he can't even move. He in the bed, weighs less than 100 pounds, and how can he be a threat to anyone that's 6'4", 280 pounds? How can he be afraid of someone like that? He can't even move. He's no threat to no one. All we're asking for is justice, to let him come home. It's not right. If you let a murderer out, why can't you let someone else out? My grandson is not a murderer, and he's only 33 years old. But they upset because they left him to die in a room last week for 6 days, did not have running water. They took his insurance from him because they don't want to pay the bill of him having to go out and get blood. He had to get blood at like every 6 days because he's losing blood. They won't even give him his treatments now. They have stopped giving him chemo because the company does not want to spend the money to take care of him. If they send him home to us, we can let him die in peace. But they're upset because we sent letters out to everyone, even to make them and the warden, to make them aware of what was going on. So now they're mad, and they won't put him on the docket to let him come home. It's a retaliation. It's called punishment by neglect, and that's what they're doing to my grandson. And I want someone to please help me. We need some justice down here in Polk County, Florida. It's too much going on. It's too much going on.
And you said that this is Polk County, Florida. This is where he's locked up at?
It started at Polk County, but it's the state attorney office that said don't let him out. And down in Bartow, Florida, is a county seat, which is Polk County. They went all the way to the prison to tell them to don't let him out. And that's against the law. Once they sentenced him, they had no business going across the law to go that far to ask them to go and not let him out. That was not left up to him. That was left up to him. But they influenced the board by telling him that the guy was dangerous, which they did the same thing to me and his mother. It was a racket. The guy was trying to get money, and I told them. He lied on me. the same way.
Right. Mm. But that's one of the things that we had spoke to the board about in Alabama. We spoke to them about that and asked them, you know, in Alabama, how come the DA the prosecutors or the judges or somebody could come and they could speak, even those advocacy groups that's against prisoners could come and speak, and they speak after, you know, you would speak. We would go speak to the parole board and plead to get people out, and they would speak after us, and then would turn around, tell us, you know, that when we finished, they let them speak, and we didn't have no chance to rebut anything that they were saying. Even in one case, the district attorney had nerve to say that a guy had been locked up less than a year, and he had done did 4 years. You know, so those are the things. Those are the things that we're going through up here. So I could imagine what you're going through down there in Florida. Florida got over, close to what, 60,000 people incarcerated, and in Alabama, there's only like 32. A little over what?
A little over 60,000.
A little over 60,000. So, you know, are the things that we got to look at when we call for justice. We got another person that's calling from an 863 number. I'm going to open up your line, 863. First numbers will be 307. You're live on Tops Radio. Come on and talk to us. We're speaking right now with Ms. Deborah Thompson about her grandson. And we will be getting justice for your grandson. Go ahead and give us your grandson's full name, Ms. Thompson, so we can be declaring justice for him.
Right. You can listen to that person, too. My name is Deborah Thompson. I am the owner of the Metro newspaper, the only black-owned newspaper in Polk County, which scares the county. This is the only voice that we have, and they've been trying to shut me up for 24 years. That's the problem. That is a major problem here.
Now, wait. Hold on. Now, your grandson's name is what now?
My grandson's name is Kelvin Key Harrington. Kelvin K-E-Y hyphen Harrington, H-E-R-R-I-N-G-T-O-N.
Kelvin Key Harrington.
Yes, sir, and he's at the Lake Butler Medical Center.
Lake Butler Medical Center. Now, let me say this. Now, you say that you have been the only voice in the middle part or district of Florida down there with your newspaper called the Metro News. And how long have you had this in existence?
24 years. And they listened to this guy that was an informant for them. He lied on me to get money because I would not pay him. He was trying to extort money. He lied he put my grandson and his mother, and she's lost her mind. She's in jail now, been there over 2.5 years, so she lost her mind for the same thing. She does not even know her son is dying of cancer. She has not seen him. They won't give her a bond. They put her in the Florida City Medical crazy house, and she's come back. She's back. They didn't set a bond for her. Nothing. She's been there for almost 3 years now. And then he told a lie on her and her son, so they beat him up, and the police listened to it and arrested them. And then when he called me and told me to give him some money and he'll take up the charges, I told him I was not. My grandson don't even know him, and we didn't know him, and we wasn't going to do it. I told the sheriff after he kept calling me for money, I told the sheriff, they called him in and told him about it. When they told him about it 2 days later, he called them and told them that I threatened. So they came and got me and arrested me at 66 years old at that time. I'm 68 now. And they arrested me then. And when they arrested me, some of the lawyers and the higher people in town went and told them, do you know who that lady is? That lady write in the newspaper every week, stop the violence. And you're saying that it's creating violence? Say, that doesn't make sense. So when they told him, they picked me up, locked me up, put me in jail, and had him and another, his girlfriend, to lie on me. And then she went and told him that she lied on me. So they had to throw that case out, and he held on to his. And when they got through, he had three different lies that he told me. They had to impeach his statement. So the judge said he didn't want to hear it. He lied. The judge threw it out of there. And now why can't they believe that he didn't lie on my daughter and her grandson? The grandson said, Grandma, don't worry about me. Get your stuff out of this. I'll go ahead on and take it and go. You just get a lawyer for you. Don't get no lawyer for me because they're trying to give me life. I'd rather just go. He took a plea bargain. He didn't do it. He just took a plea bargain. I wouldn't do it. They tried to get me to take a plea bargain. I wasn't going to take a plea bargain for something I didn't do. We need help down here. All they're doing is giving all the black people plea bargains. Plea bargains. They don't have no cases up on them. They grabbed my little 12-year-old grandson the other day. He's coming around the street, and they stopped him going through his pocket. What are they going through a 12-year-old pocket for? Talk about he didn't have a light on his body.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say, Ms. Thompson, that's one of the things that we really got to teach our children, to stop taking these plea bargains. Because if we would, let me tell you something I've been saying for about the past 7 to 8 years, that if we would stop taking plea bargains and if black people would stop trying to get off the jury, then we could shut down the whole judicial system. It would back them up at least 2 or 3 years. And that's one of the biggest problems that we have, that you got black people that don't want to stay on the jury because we always, including me, you know, we don't want to spend our time down there, this and that and the other. So we end up getting rid. They're already going to get us off or mark us off or try to get us out of there anyway. And then we help them by not staying there. And then we always taking these plea bargains instead of fighting them.
That's
those
right.
are the things that's helping put us in jail and prison
up.
More than ever.
They scare Mr. Shopton, they scare them up so bad. They scare them up so bad. They told my grandson life, and they told me that I was facing life. I says, well, I'll tell you what, I'm taking God with me. God is facing life then, because I would not go for that. And they had to throw it all out because the guy lied. He lied. And they proved him to be a liar. They proved him. They had to impeach every statement that he made. But you're going to listen to a rock monster as opposed to a prominent woman in the community? That does not make sense. And our NAACP down here, our pastors won't come out the pulpit and do anything. Anything
okay, don't get me wrong. Don't get me started, Ms. Deborah. Don't start me talking about the pastors won't come out the pulpit, because a lot of pastors feel like it's not their place to come out the pulpit. They feel like they're supposed to just stay in the pulpit. I don't guess they seen the part where Jesus came and said, I didn't come to change the law. I come to fulfill the law. And his fulfillment of the laws was to make them equal and to make them fair across the board. And that is the fulfillment of the law. But for some reason, some of the pastors have missed it. And I just want to tell you, oh, man, that you have hit the nail on the head about that. But don't, you know, let's try to get as many people as we can. We need all the pastors. We need all the groups that are out there. We need everybody to call in and do what you can to help Brother Keith Harrington, that is sitting up there in a prison cell, that has a sickness that they cannot help, they cannot do nothing about, and they won't even give them medical release. Now, we're not talking about somebody supposedly is a murderer, is a rapist or something. We're talking about somebody that got a minimal crime, just like the president was just talking about, and sitting up there in the cell when he could be out. They cannot treat him. They don't have the funds to treat him. They're not going to treat him. They're going to do just as minimal as they can to keep them alive. Go ahead, Ms. Deborah, I'm sorry.
Yes, sir. They got upset because we called the prison inspector and had everybody from Tallahassee in there last week, and they're mad. They're upset with me because we are trying to get medical help for my grandson, and they're retaliating. They're retaliating. And that's
well, you also got to look at, though, Ms. Deborah, let's be honest. You also got to look at the fact that you have been a woman that has been on the front line. This is a civil rights leader, Ms. Deborah Thompson. For those of you who don't know, she's down there in Winter Haven, Florida. She's had what's called the Metro News for the past 28 years, a civil rights leader in her own right. 24 years, I'm sorry. And a civil rights leader in her own right. And so what's happening is those people are seeing who they're dealing with. So they're retaliating on her grandson because of her civil rights leadership, because of her civil rights activity and her action. She's a woman of action. Matter of fact, let me tell you something, because she's going to be modest. I'm not. I'm going to tell you who it is. She has really, when the sheriff and all and the DA went to run for office down there, they came and talked to Ms. Depper and asked her not to run against them. That's how active she has been. Whenever something goes on there, they talk to her. And this is not just because of the newspaper. She'll have to tell you her own background and all that, where she's very well qualified. We got a lot of people that got their hands up right now. That 443 has his hands up, talking about your grandson that's in prison. And 443-522, you're live on Tops Radio. Come on and talk to me.
Hey, what's going on, man? How you doing?
How you doing, bro? This is Reverend Daniels. How are you, sir?
I'm okay. I got a poke from you today.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, I went ahead and poked you and told you I'm back in action. I took a big hit, but we're doing it. I'm sitting up here talking to Ms. Deborah Thompson. She's telling us what's going on with her grandson, Calvin T. Harrington. Down there, and we're trying to get a medical leave for him out of Tallahassee. He's been in Polk County. He's suffering from a sickness. They cannot treat him, will not treat him, and they won't let him out on a medical leave.
Oh, okay. I'm surprised to hear you taking over. What's the situation with Dennis?
Oh, no, I haven't been able to talk to him today and reach out to him. I was trying to get him to come on, but, you know, I had to go ahead and get Ms. Depper here because we really got to get some stuff going with Ms. Depper Thompson. I'm going to come on back to you, Reverend Daniels. Let me go to this 863 number. 863-412, you're live on Tops Radio. Come on and talk to us while we're live with Depper Thompson.
412 is my number.
863-547.
That would be me. I am Kevin's aunt, and I'm calling in reference to I was the one who actually sent up the email for my family. I've actually sent the email to Pam Bundy, Loretta Lynch. I've sent the email to the Director of Health Services, Region Director, the Warden. Kevin is sick. The prison has requested that he be released. However, they are not releasing him. They, we have proof that they have not provided him with medical care. He was thrown in confinement and was not receiving medical care for 2 to 3 days, which was against the law. When they went in to find Kevin, he was unresponsive. They had to rush him to the hospital. They took him to the Jacksonville Memorial Hospital, and he was placed in ICU. Once he was placed in ICU, they allowed my mother, Deborah Thompson, to come and see him, and he explained everything that happened. After being in ICU having an emergency procedure done, the next day, 2 days later, they put him back in the prison swollen. They don't know what's going on with him. They just put him back in the prison and still not giving him medical care. My concern is this. 5 months ago, a man was released who was a murderer. A year ago, a man by the name of, you can look him up, his name is Anthony Carbajal, C-A-R-B-A-J-A-L, just a year ago, last month, he was released with almost the same charges that my nephew has, and he was released for the simple fact that he was not receiving proper medical care. My concern is this. I know that he has committed a crime, but I expect for him to be treated fairly, and I definitely expect him to be treated with dignity. There's no way that my nephew is a threat to anybody at this time. He is sick. He has pancreatic cancer, and there's nothing they can do to help him. There's other things that's going on, and we know it to be true, sir. I just need my nephew out of there. My name is LaTonja Key. I am his aunt, and I love him. We all love him, and we want him to have proper care. He should not be punished by neglect. That should not be. A prison sentence is not a death sentence. It's a prison sentence. And at this point, it's a death sentence for him. We are asking the state attorney, we're asking everyone in the Tallahassee to please take a look at my nephew's case and please release him in medical to us so that we can take care of him. That's all we're asking. We're not asking for anything else. What happened between the state attorneys and my mother has nothing to do with his health, nothing whatsoever. If you're going to let a murderer out, you can definitely let someone who hasn't murdered anybody out.
The prisons are very they're filthy, and it's a lot of germs in the prisons, and nowadays they don't really want to take care of you, and that's a shame. You know, a lot of times people get out of jail, they've been in there all that time. And they get out of jail, you know, they pass away from an illness they incurred inside the jail shortly after their release. What you think about that, Pastor Glasgow? That's true.
You know what I think about it. I'm living proof of what they do to you in the prisons after 14 years. I know exactly what they do, how they do. And so you know I know. One of the things that I'm very, very concerned about is the fact that Brother Key Harrington is in there, and they know he has this cancer. And what the aunt just said and what the grandmother said is that the prison has requested for him to come out, Reverend Daniels. I know you're up there, and where you at, in Detroit? And, you know,
no,
so we need
I'm in Baltimore. You're right, because it was one of the guys that I grew up with. He had cancer, you know, and he died in the prison. See, a lot of people don't realize that's the biggest grave site in the world.
Exactly.
In America.
And see, so that's what's happening now. You know, we are losing our young black men and some of our older ones by dying in prison or by being shot and killed by the police. And this is what's happening all across. I want to mix it up a little bit right now. I want to bring in a young man, Brother Zay Thomas. And Ms. Deborah, me and you have already talked about this case. I'll send it to you. But I want to bring in Zay Thomas. And Zay, we're on live on Tops Radio talking about justice is all we want. All we want is justice. Brother
justice.
Zay, tell us what's going on with you, Brother Zay Thomas.
Well, my brother Chris Thomas, he was killed by the police in 2012, and we just want some justice. But it seems like everybody that comes stand up behind us, they try to turn them against each other and cover up the wrongdoing that they got going on.
Yeah, the system is corrupt, Brother Zay, and that's what they're trying to do. And one of the things that I want us to connect, I'm glad that you came on. I was kind of hoping more people, Ms. Jackie and all them, would come on because I wanted to introduce y'all to Ms. Deborah, as well as Ms. Deborah going over, you know, going into it or getting into it about her grandson. She's very much aware of you all cases because when I went to Florida and spoke to her in the Metro News that she has is a national news paper, and we're going to even get some of it up there to you, Reverend Daniels, in Baltimore, so you could be passing it out. You know, we was going to make it regional, but then I got people like you, Reverend Daniels, that need it up there up north. We was going to make it the regional southern thing, but it needs to go far and beyond. And so, Ms. Deborah, I want you to introduce you to Zay Thomas. And Zay is the brother.
My last name is Vickers.
Vickers,
yeah.
Okay. And he's, Ms. Deborah, he's one of the brothers of Chris Thomas, the case I told you about that we were working on here in Dothan. Now, let me tell y'all something real surprising about that before I go right back to Calvin T. Harrington. The surprising thing about the Chris Thomas case is that here it has been 3 years. And they have went back and forth in depositions and all this kind of stuff. But let me tell y'all what's so surprising. We just went through the depositions and all, and it was found out in the depositions, you all, that the officer lied so much. Oh, y'all didn't hear me. I didn't hear nobody say nothing, and I got all your mics open. Hold on, Reverend Daniels. And 173 discrepancies in the case. Did anybody hear that? 100.
Yeah.
And we got it all online. It's right there on the dotonline.com. OrdinaryPeopleNews.com or dotonline.com. Either one. You can go to either one of those and read the whole deposition. It's 184 pages. So have a ball.
Yeah, but I'm wondering why the Attorney General haven't stepped in and done something about this if we have all of this proof. Where is our Attorney General? Do we have to wait until our people die or they're killed before they come on national TV? Or will they hear our cry before they kill them?
They don't care.
The thing about it is they don't care. But let me tell you this one thing they do care about. If we take what you have done down there in Florida, Ms. Deborah Thompson, with the Metro News, if we take what we done did up here in Alabama in Central South, you know, with Tops and me and the work I've been doing and with Zay Vickers and all them, if we take what you're doing up there, Reverend Daniels, in Baltimore, come on now, and we put this together, guess what? They're going to have to start listening. If we got the newspaper, Metro News, along with this radio show, and now we got the FM station that's coming on down here, and we got the Internet, as you can see, where we could call in right now, they're going to have to listen. One of the things that they have been able to do is silence our voices. And they have silenced our voices by controlling the media and what gets out and what don't.
And that's exactly
luckily,
right.
Social media has opened up some doors. So now that social media has opened up some doors, we got to use what we got. And that's what's going on right now. Reverend Daniels, go ahead before I go to the next call. You want to say something?
We have a delegate up here by the name of Jill Carter. And Jill Carter and the former delegate of Selena Marriott. And they are very much so in prison reform and police brutality. I realize. See, I tell people, you know, when people come to me, they, when something happens, they get arrested and they wind up somewhere behind bars. And I tell them, I say, well, look, let me see the arrest record. I mean, the arrest report. Let me see the arrest report. And I guarantee you, you know, a lot of lawyers are not worth their salt. I guarantee you that, they can't holler. A lot of police are just illiterate. Because if you really read through that, you'll see all kinds of things that just don't make sense. Because they
That's
can't
right.
write.
That's
they can't
right.
write.
All right. Yeah. There goes Reverend Daniels. All
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
Go ahead, brother.
Zay,
I heard you say something before I go to the next
call.
Go ahead, Zay.
Yeah, I want to say one more thing. I can say a whole bunch of things, but I'm just say this. Like that happened 3 years ago, and out of them 3 years, the same officer, he still ride around the same city. He still do the same thing, harass people and all that. And it like can't nobody put a stop to him. He basically get to do what he want to do. Why is it? Cause that he know he wrong. The city know that he wrong, and they don't been behind him like ain't nothing wrong what he did. So therefore, if they turn their back on him, ain't no telling what he got on them. So they just let him do whatever he want to do. He still ride around
but
here.
If we learn to write them up, we'll have proof, and you can do something about it. You go to your mayor. You can go to your governor, but if you don't have no proof, don't write them up, what proof they have to do any punishment to them? We must learn to go and write up the police officers. Write them up.
And
tell the
that's right.
We want to write for the incident, okay. Whatever they do. That's what I do. And that's how I'm getting some help now, because I wrote them up. And if you don't write them up and you mess around and kill somebody, then they don't have no proof that he's a racist. But if you write it up saying racist stuff, then when he does do something to somebody, they got the proof.
They already
That's
got
right.
the proof. Yeah, I already done killed somebody. They got the proof.
Well,
they already got the proof.
Say, Well, Zay, let me say this. We're going to be coming at it because one of the things that we're going to be doing on here is we're going to have Reverend Daniels, we're going to have Ms. Deborah Yu, we're going to have different leaders come on, and I can go on and tell y'all, I'm going to go ahead and announce it. Even my brother Al Sharpton will be on the show. We'll have lawyers on the show and everybody. I have been lining this up for the last month while everybody was attacking me. I was back in the background, and Zay, you the only one really know it, and you too, Ms. Deborah. I was sitting back in the background just lining up shows, getting ready for our FM station to open up along with this line. We're going to open up this next line, 334-828 are the first two numbers, the first three numbers, 334-828. You're live on Tops Radio. Come on, talk to us. Justice is
how,
all we
how
want.
How you doing, Pastor Basco?
Hey, how you doing,
Pastor Basco, Ms. Deborah?
Oh, sound like Trevor.
Trevor.
Hey, Trevor.
This is Trevor.
Oh, how you doing,
Trevor Reynolds? I'm good.
Okay.
Hey, you all right? Zay, you got to make a paper trail. Only way you can fight these people, you got to have a paper trail. And we have a right as citizens to file. I don't know whether it's an PD-15 or something on them. So when an incident does happen, you have something to fall back on.
That's right.
But,
that's right. Go ahead.
You know,
Brother
so,
Zay.
We don't have any strong NAACP. Years ago, we had strong NAACP. Now they're afraid to come out. We have maybe one state.
Okay. Hello. Hold on, because I'm hearing some background back there. Okay, go ahead. That was somebody talking. Hey, what you say, Ms. Deborah?
I was saying that we don't have strong NAACP. They are afraid to speak up and speak out. You can't speak out if you don't speak up. And they're not
That's
doing
right.
it. They're just standing with the position. I'm the NAACP president. That's what the man told me here today, that I don't want to get in it. But what you need to do is to get somebody, call somebody, and let somebody do stuff about it. But why can't you do anything? If you got the job, why don't family. If not, give me the job because I would definitely take care of it. They have asked me to run, but no. My husband said no because he know that they're after me because I own a newspaper. They sent 13 white people to buy my newspaper from me, and I told them $1.5 million. They was willing to do that, but they wanted me to run it. So when I found out that was what it was, I backed off because I said it's not worth the money for me to sell out myself and my people. I'm not going to let you tell me what to put in the paper. That's all it is. We got a
that's
voice.
Right, that's right.
We need to use every voice that we have. We need to get off of our butt. And we need to, if I need to come to Baltimore to help you, you call me. I come to Baltimore. I come to Baltimore to help you do what you have to do. And you
wow.
can to help me do what
all
we
right.
need to do. We need to get
y'all hold on. Y'all hold on one second. I believe I got a brother here. I want to talk to us, 334-733, you're live on Tops Radio, 334-733, you're live on Tops Radio, go ahead.
I'm just listening.
Okay, he's just listening. Well, let me give y'all some advice to that just listening gave us. He said for us to start going to our city council meetings and go to our local city council in our commission and start talking to them at the city council meeting while the TV is showing, while the tape is going, and tell them the problems that we have. One of the things that people have to realize is going on is that those city council meetings and those commission meetings are taped, that are televised, and they're, the minutes are written. So it would be on file that you have made this complaint. And even though you seem like ain't nothing going on, even though it may seem like to you that they're not doing nothing about it, you will have your case on file. And if you remember the date and the time that you went, whenever you start to come back with a lawsuit or come back with a real formal complaint, you can have something to point to and say, I went to the city council on so-and-so-and-so date at this time and told them. I went before the commission on so-and-so-and-so date and told them, and they still didn't do nothing about it, and that's going to help your case. We just thank you for listening, sir. Come on and talk to me, Ms. Deborah. So I want to, where's the auntie at? Ms. Keith, come on back here. So here's my dilemma. My dilemma is, time. And I wish that brother wasn't just listening. He is far better at running one of these talk shows than I am. But anyway, he just listening. Miss Key, so we have Kelvin that's locked up, Kelvin Key Harrington, and he's locked up 954. You know your mic is always open whenever you get ready to speak. I know you was just listening also, but your mic is still open, sir. And Miss Key, I'm talking to you and Miss Deborah. So we have Kelvin Key Harrington that is incarcerated down there in Polk County. And
actually, no, he's in Lake Butler Correctional Center, Medical
Lake Butler
Center.
Correctional, okay, mm-hmm. Medical Center. And I want to get back to this, back to the point that the Department of Corrections in Florida, Florida Department of Corrections,
mm-hmm.
has told them to release this man.
They have asked that he be released on medical.
He need to be released on what? Go ahead.
Medical conditional release. The Department of Corrections wrote the paperwork up. They can write the paperwork in the Department of Health in Tallahassee. Can write the paperwork, and they did, and they submitted it to the Parole Commission in Tallahassee. The Parole Commission is saying that they do not want to release him because he is a threat to the community. But he is no threat because he's sick. And number two, the Department of Corrections just let a murderer out. My nephew, Kelvin Key Harrington, has not murdered anyone. Yes, he has charges, but he has not murdered anyone.
How
are you going to let a murderer out?
How long has it been since they let the murderer out?
5 months ago.
5 months ago? What was his condition?
About 5 to 6 months ago. I'm sorry?
What was his condition?
I don't know what his condition was. I do know that
but
he was released on a medical release. Mm-hmm.
Okay. In the same Department of Corrections that we're referring to in Florida is the same Department of Corrections that requested that this murderer get out, but they won't
mm-hmm.
let Kelvin out, but they let this murderer out about 5 or 6 months ago.
Correct. They also let a man out.
Now, these are the double standards that the president was talking about. You know, even though he was speaking it, at the NAACP conference, wherever he was at, one of the things that we have to look at, one of our listeners texted me and said that the NAACP cannot be led by businessmen and women who cannot afford to take a loss as a result of standing up. Because if the NAACP is led by those that have jobs, businesses, and can be affected if they stand up, then that's going to cause them not to stand up for people's rights because they don't want to lose their business or they don't want to lose their job. We got to get people to lead these organizations that basically, for lack of better statement, basically has nothing to lose, or totally entrusting God, so therefore they can stand up for the people's rights. So here we have Kelvin T. Harrington that is locked up in the prison system in Florida. The prison system say we cannot take care of him. We cannot treat him. He needs to have a medical conditional release, just like we have done in the past for others. Kelvin Key Harrington does not have a murder charge, does not have a rape charge. Kelvin Key Harrington has a charge for defending himself. Somebody shot at him more or less than he might have shot back. He might have a charge that defended himself and tried to protect his grandmother. But I believe, Auntie, and I know Ms. Deborah is right here on the phone, and I know that's his grandmother, and I know that's probably your mama, but I believe that the real reason that they're doing this to Kelvin Key Harrington is because your mother, Ms. Deborah that is on the phone, that's on the line right now, live here with us, is a real, real big-time civil rights leader. And I believe because she is a civil rights leader, I want to say that that's why, good God Almighty, y'all, I want to say that's why they're taking it out on your nephew, on her grandson, on Kelvin. And I want to tell y'all something that I've seen. And the reason I say this, and I say this, and you straighten me out, listener, because you know you ain't have no problem straighten me out for the last 12 years. I know you ain't got no problem now. Text me since you don't want to be heard. I just heard the KKK. And Reverend Daniels, you on the line, you straighten me out too. I just heard them over there in South Carolina. I'm looking at it on Facebook, looking at the videos, looking at everything that's going on. And they said, we're going to get you, your children, and your children's children. That's what they said. Now, that was the threat they made. They called us the N-word. They said all kind of stuff. And here we are in Dothan, Alabama. We're trying to build race relations. And you got the Confederate flag all over the place. You got KKK all over the place. They rolled through here yesterday with all them flags and all that stuff, and people took pictures and all and sent them to me. But they didn't stop now, my brother that's listening. They rolled through. And then they said they stopped at Kmart. So people took pictures. They got some water, and they kept going. So the police told a couple of the individuals that was addressing them when they were saying the N-word and all, making all those slurs, said don't bother them because they're not a threat. Well, you know, when you call me the N-word and all that, and you sitting up here having symbolism of things that reminds me of my people getting lynched and this and that and the other, I don't know how much of a threat you want except for pulling the gun out and shooting me. But anyway, we have to look at what Kelsey. One of the things that I'm going to bring up in Tallahassee when I come down there, Ms. Deborah, is the fact that where's the fairness in the equality? First of all, you can't show me why you would let a murderer out and Kelvin hasn't murdered anybody and you won't let him out after your own Department of Corrections has requested for his conditional release. In Alabama, what we have successfully done with Cam Ward is we, Senator Cam Ward, that is, what we have successfully done is we have gotten in Senate Bill 67, we have finally gotten for the first time in history, Ms. Deborah, the parole board has to give a reason why they denied someone's parole. And they cannot put them off for parole no more than a year or 2 years. That's the first time in history that any parole board was ever held accountable. It seems to me like in Florida, we need to go back, and I need to call Desmond and call Mike McBride and all these different leaders across the country, you know, and have them. I should have brought them on. Now I'll have them on. It would have been this week I'll have them on. Because they're addressing what's going on in Florida. They're addressing the right to vote and all that. But they need to be addressing, you know, while they're addressing Angela Corbett and all that, they need to be addressing the parole board and the accountability thereof. Because why would the parole board want to go against its own Department of Corrections? Now, that goes to show that there's a discrepancy within their own system. Ooh, come on, Reverend Daniels. I know you can pull me out of this one. There's a glitch there within their own system.
That's the same
thing. They're not in agreement. Go ahead, sir.
That's the same thing happened here. Same thing.
In both.
And that governor, now he's running for president. Isn't that something?
What name? What governor is that?
O'Malley.
O'Malley, ain't that something? But we're gonna have to do something about that.
We always say no Malley.
Well, no Malley, O'Malley, whatever kind of Malley he is, we need to find out what's going on. Because I'm gonna tell you, I really, really got upset with the Florida Department of Corrections, not only because they housed me for 14 years when I did my prison time. I ain't got nothing against them for that, but I got something against them after I got out. And in 2007, we won ex-felon voters' rights, and people could get out and get their voting rights. And to my brother that's listening, you remember I took 2-3 buses. You helped me back then on the radio and everything else, getting them buses ready to go to Tallahassee in 2007. And we went down there and won that, and then Rick Scott, y'all knew governor comes in and do an executive order and changes that. And when we had Mr. McDaniel, who was the secretary of the Department of Corrections, Ms. Deborah, Ms. Debbie Thompson, I hope you hear me. When we had
there,
we wouldn't have these kind of problems when he was there. When we had your former governor, Christie was in the office, and we go to Secretary McDaniel, we didn't have these kind of problems. The parole board doing paroles, and they were letting people out, giving people their rights, giving them their conditional release when they knew that they could not take care of them. This guy that you got now as a governor, they say that he's changing his ways, but I think it's for some other political aspirations. You know, his time is about up. You know, we just had to fight him for him trying to give urinalysis to all the people that were getting food stamps and all the people that were getting TANF. And we found out that his wife was the one that owned the drug testing company. So, you know, we are up against a battle dealing with you all in Florida. And I think what I'm going to do, as a matter of fact, I know what I'm going to do, is I'm going to have you back on probably Wednesday or Thursday, and we're going to get all those advocates and activists that are out there in Florida that's doing this kind of work to come on and get in behind you. I'm going to call Pastor Gundy over there in Jacksonville, the SCSC, all of them, and have them to come on, and let's tell them about this case and about this dilemma of Calvin Key Harrington and what is going on, because that is the key, what you said, Auntie, is the key is that you have sent letters to everybody, emails to everybody. Department of Corrections is saying that he should be released, and the parole board, for some unodd reason, wants to deny not only you, not only the family, not only the request of medical doctors that know more about this dude's conditions than they do, but they denied even the Department of Corrections themselves. That's an arm of their government, and that is crazy to me. Somebody need to say something about this, and we're going to get it out. We're getting it out right now. As I get ready to close up this evening, I want you, Ms. Deborah, to give us your last and final words. We're only going to go for an hour, so, Ms. Deborah, we want to hear your last and final words, and the rest of you all get ready for your last and final words before we close. Go ahead, Ms. Deborah.
My final word is that I pray that someone will listen so that we can have justice, and it won't be just us, because it is just us, because this was, it's not a racial thing with me. It's not. Because they let Mr. Torres out, the white man out, and didn't let my grandson out. It's not that.
You shouldn't have told me he was a white man. Now, Ms. Deborah, I'm sorry. Hold up. Swole up. And, brother, I know you listening. I know you're going to get on me after the show, but I'm sorry, Ms. Deborah. You should have left that out. You mean to hold on. You mean to tell me that you're going to leave that out, and we got a president of the United States that just spoke and said we cannot deny, ignore, or act like we don't see the racial injustice that's going on no more. We can't just act like it don't exist no more. Are you
really truly telling us
that this was a white man that they released, but they, okay, see, now you shouldn't have done that. Now that just makes
and
you
he, and,
word.
He was, and he and he is
I knew you were gonna come up and say something. I knew that brother was listening, gonna say something. Come on, bro. Talk to me.
I just wanna say this, and then I'm gonna go, but sometimes we forget to think about some things that are necessary. The people who are in power, whether they look like you or they look like a neighbor on the other side of you who don't exactly look like you. You have to always know the lineage of the people who possess a power or have been given some form of authority. So in that, you got to be educated in that before you can determine whether or not the decision they made or will make is right for you. You have to know what is attached to the person. So, you know, whether you understand what I mean by that or not, but it means that, you know, people have positions and you don't necessarily know how they got it or for what reason. And so when the people in positions make decisions, always be familiar with why the decision is relative to you. Always
okay, let me tell you, sir, Mr. Listener, it was his state representative that spoke up for him. The state representative here is Republican, and he's telling me to get me some legal advice, to get me an attorney. for this. He's afraid to say anything. Why? Because he's Republican and our governor is Republican. I do believe that this is the reason why he's not stepping in to do anything.
And that, again, is lineage that I mean. And so you have to know, you know, people sometimes are bound without the binders that you see. And they're not always going to work for you. And then some of the ones who you would think may not be on your team, in fact, are on your team. And some of them can't really let you know they're on your team or they don't want to. Doesn't make it right. It makes it shameful. But at the end of the day, you have to know a person for their worth and in what capacity they serve you best. And it may not be the same for you as it would be for your neighbor.
Exactly. And I understand that. And you would not believe, sir, that the person that's giving me all the information is on the other side. And so I believe it.
I come from a place where, you know, it's not always what you did or where you came from, but it's more in who you know and who you can get a hold of. You know?
Yes, sir.
And so it's a whole lot of that goes on, not just where I live, but where you live and where everybody else that's on this line lives. You know, now whether you know the people or not doesn't mean that they don't exist, because they do. And that's pretty much that's how the world works. And it makes it terrible for the outcome of those who are somewhat voiceless and who don't have the means to reach out to somebody, you know, such as Kenny, who has resources to be able to put it out there. So I've been watching him do what he does for a very long time, and it's effective. It does a lot of things. It jeopardizes a lot of people that are dangerous, and it jeopardizes him more so than anybody else for being able to step out of the limb for other people. Because, and I'm the one that made the comment about the NAACP, and I know y'all got to go, but I'm going to say this, and I'm going to let you go. We had an NAACP chapter, but here's where you go wrong in your elected officials, because NAACP and the chairperson, they are, unless there's a void that needs to be filled, your chairpersons are elected. So it's not in the same politics as is city and local government, but it is an elected position. So in there, anytime there's an elected position, it has to be done by the members. And the members do that, and you have to, again, know why. But now if you put a person in a position of power in any organization, any of them, that has to be in control of their business. If there's a way that someone can control their business from the outside, you don't have a strong representative. Because if you have someone to lose, then a person has to make a choice as to how do I provide for my family while leading this organization. And most times, those who are in need most begin to be the ones who fall by the wayside by a person who is essentially voiceless. For a very strong spoken organization, they become voiceless because people can control whatever it is that you got. If you own a business or you have a merchant store downtown, or they know how to stop people from coming by there, or they send a state inspector in, or they do all kind of stuff that you realize you can associate it back to being a part of this and being the one that stood up for Miss Jane. But now, had I not spoke up for Miss Jane, it wouldn't be like this. So now you got to figure out how to get rid of him. Because he not only is he not effective, he could now become dangerous for you. So, but the intent is good, but it just doesn't happen that way. And that's the reality of it.
That's the reality. And that's what makes people like me so dangerous, but yet so vulnerable. Because what they'll do to people like me is just try to totally discredit me, try to stop me from getting funding or stop people from affiliating with me and all that. And sometimes they're successful the more people listen to them, but most of the time they're not. Because as time goes on, you know, my granddaddy told me something a long time ago, and that brother that you're listening to, Ms. Deborah, he told me something not too long ago. The same thing my granddaddy told me. He said, the only thing you got to do is keep a living, and I live the lie. I said, man, but the lie here, yeah, I know it hurt. I know it's bad. I know it don't feel good. But as long as you outlive the lie and don't make the lie true. So what ends up happening here in the South is you hit the nail on the head, sir.
And you were within 7 days of the lie being revealed and the truth being told. Within 7 days of that conversation, sir.
Woo! I heard heard that. So, did you hear that, Ms. Deborah? He said, I'm within 7 days of the lie being revealed and the truth being told. I'm within 7 days of it right now. Now, today, Monday night. Oh, good God. Thank you for that word, sir. I needed that encouragement.
God's perfect number. That's God's perfect number. It's right on
there. Now, this young man, Ms. Deborah, this young man will have a private conversation with you off the radio line, and you will talk to him. He knows exactly. This is a young man me and you had a conversation about. Don't say no name or nothing.
No,
we had a conversation about that will be able to help aid in the newspaper, the national dispensary of it, and knowing how to file all the paperwork and everything to get something done. Now, even though it's in Florida, don't get it confused. You know, some of us have tentacles like an octopus that reach all over the place. I want to thank you, sir, for coming forth and coming out, and for you not being one of those that is bound by business or bound by a position to where you can't speak to. Because you've been speaking it for years, sir, for years. Thank you so much.
No, I'm bound to an obligation, and the obligation is that in which is right. So, you know, I'm bound to that morally, principally, ethically. I'm bound to that because I've been given chances that many haven't been given, but I live it trying to afford an opportunity to give somebody else the same chance that I was given. That's how you do it. You know, that's what life is about. So, when you get and you come, and I don't tell anybody all that I've gone through. That man, I'm gonna refer to him like he is me. That fellow on the phone, he knows. The downside was, I was able to maintain through a whole storm of adversity. I mean, I was able to maintain in food everybody but myself. For a very long time. But at the end of the day, we survived. So I know what it means to have a voice that other people hear, and then I not hear my own voice. But what I said, other people heard it, and it worked, and it helped. But I learned later how to apply those same principles to what I need to do every day.
Help somebody else.
That's right.
My God.
That's right.
And
That's right.
It works. You know, and the only way to be able to see clear is to wipe your own eyes, because I can't see out of yours.
That's
right.
So
I got to be able to wipe mine and look. And then I can see a little bit better. That's how that went for me. So it ain't really much that he can ask for down there that I won't help him with. But if he's way off guard, I'm going to tell him. Now, that right there, that ain't going to work. And that'd be my opinion. But he's going to start reaching out to see if anybody else feels the same way. And he's always been smart enough to get more than one opinion. So,
amen.
Appreciate you, sir.
I've got a line that's available. If somebody needs to get it, they can have it.
Thank you.
Amen.
We really need some help. You don't know how we're hurting the way they've done my daughter and done her son. And done me. I'm 68 years old, and I'm begging y'all to please. My daughter don't even know her son is dying because they still have her in prison and have not given her bond. If she have not killed anybody legally, she's due a bond. And they got her there because nobody would do nothing with these people here. I had to go all the way to Orlando and get Jose Baez, who's not afraid of this man over here, to come and take my case. I spent money after money after money. When I say money, Jose Baez is not a $50,000 lawyer, just to plead my case. Then I got the lawyer here to do my grandson and her and my daughter. It's killing me, and please, I just want somebody to help me because my daughter is down there and lost her mind because of this and don't even know her child is dying. She haven't seen her child in 3 years.
Can I step in and say something to you? I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong. Are you saying to me that you have a case with a person who is from a local jurisdiction and attempted to retain someone from within that same jurisdiction?
Yes, sir.
That was your additional attempt.
Well, that I know. I got him to Yes, I did get him because the Jose Baez.
The Jose Baez, that's great. But I don't know where you live. Right. But I say this.
I live in county. Jose Baez helped me. He said, Grandma, go ahead and take care of yourself and you and my mama. He says, I'll just go ahead on and go. He said, but they got you with Grandma, as old as you are, with a life case. He said, Grandma, please, just let me go. Leave me and let me go.
Ma'am, let me tell you something that you can carry with you and pass this on to your children. In Alabama and in rural counties in the state of Florida, Mississippi, Georgia, and Tennessee, they call that the Southeast. Okay? In these areas, such as where I come from, if you have a case that is a bona fide case and a district attorney in your county is prosecuting that case, do everything you can to get as far away from there to get you an attorney as you can. Because in these small towns, they all work together. They all live together, and they all eat together. How you'll know that is, you'll go to court in one town, and Joe Jackson will be the lawyer, and Bob Ward will be the prosecutor, and the other one will be the judge, and you'll flip-flop and go to the next little town, and they'll be the same people, and they'll be roles reversed. One will be the judge there, one will be the prosecutor. So I say that to you, they all in bed together, right? And get as far the hell away from that, excuse me, as you can, and get somebody else to listen to you. Because as soon as you leave their office, they're already, see, they got a new thing now called text. They don't even have to pick up a phone call. They hold the phone under their desk and text the other one and tell them, she ain't here talking about you, and this is what her plan is. But we're going to play this out. I'm going to get $10,000 from her today, and me and you will split that at lunch. Meet me down at such and such. And that goes, and you just fell off into a trap, man.
And that's exactly what they do. I've sat there and witnessed it right here in our area called the Wiregrass.
Scottman, I've exhausted a lot of money, Mr. Baez, because here I am, very high blood pressure. They illegally arrested me, false imprisonment, had me in jail for no reason. Defamation of character. I'm not the person that they put all across the news because they wanted to know, let everybody know who I was. They looked like on in the newspaper, and then ran up my blood pressure. I went up from a 5 milligram all the way to a 20 milligram. I am sick. It's killing me, and there's nothing that I can do. That Jose Baez was a $90,000 case, and then this man charged me for the other case. I spent $17,000 for him, plus half of that for my son, just for him to represent my grandson. They've exhausted all of what I had. I have enough to live on, but it's just too much. It's too much. I'm steady spending money. To get his records the other day cost me $332 just to get his record. Every time a lawyer
comes
to me, I just don't have it.
And I'm gonna jump off, but can I jump in the chain? Can I say something before I disconnect? Sir? Kenneth? Let's go.
Yes, sir.
I got something I need to say to you and everybody else. I hear the comment made about the hate groups gathering up. The biggest solution, the most effective solution to any of that, is to show that the group they have is smaller than the group you have, right? In that, what I mean is it starts somewhere, but part of the start and somewhere between start and finish, we got to address the issue of, see, what happened in Carolina was a very, very, very hate-filled act, and it is in itself just that, and it has happened many other times, but the number of times that happened and the number of deaths involved don't even begin to compare to the number of lives that we take of each other, of our own, each day. So we need to find a group who will just get together the same way and boycott our own stupidity just the same as we boycott the damage done by others to us, because we are more harm to
to ourselves in many ways than other people can ever be. And that's why we're not getting the education we need. We don't have unity. We have the crab mentality. We have fear from being able to have something brought back up on us that we may have been guilty of 20 years ago and being silenced by that. We have to overcome all of this in order to be able to form a group big enough to show you that your group really don't have enough numbers to beat us.
Let me say this to you, my brother. Go ahead, Ms. Devin.
Okay, down here, I have formed a group, just me and three other ladies, because down here they have boys killing each other, these gangs. I'm the only one that walks the street. We got a new police chief. He went to the pastors and the NAACP man to walk him door to door. They said, we don't have the balls Ms. Thompson have. You have to call her. Mr. Sharpton knows I walked the chief all over town to all the black people in the neighborhood and the black businesses and things like that because they won't do it. I'm paying for everything. I walked four computers. I got a computer lab. I get these children every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 2 to 7:30 and keep these boys, giving them all kind of games, buying things for them to do, buying iPads for them to work computers. I spent all that out of my pocket. I got a commissioner here that came and helped me and one other man from the church. He came and bought a pizza for him one day. But everything comes out of my pocket trying to get our children to turn around. Every time they kill a person, I walk and everybody starts joining me, and they come with me and walk to tell them to stop the word nigger, to kill the word nigger. I tell them that and come and say my brother, because if they kill, they won't kill their brother if they learn to say this is my brother, but they keep saying my nigger, and that's what they're killing, their nigger. Instead of that, they need to change that word from my nigger to my brother, and they won't be as apt to kill their brother. I'm doing all of this.
You have them killing your brother, Bam. Brother is associated with a family unit, and that is a major disconnect in the world itself. So, you know, if I call a hog is in that cow pasture. He don't know he a hog because he's been with cows all the time. So you have to establish the family unit to be able to know the difference between the mother and the brother and the father. Because there's a lot of these pieces to the puzzle that not only can they not find them, they're there, but they don't know how to put them together when they find them. So
well, let me
we
say
have
this.
To,
let
and
me
I
say
commend
this,
you in your efforts because that will carry on because somebody that you do that with will remember that, and they too will do it for somebody. So it starts with a small number of people with a commitment like yourself. But at the end of the day, you have to be able to remember they need to remember when they leave what they learned while they were there.
Yep. And let me say this. I put on Facebook, hold on 1 second. I said we could come together by faith or we could come together by force. But if we come together by the faith force, then we'll come together. Because I just put on there yesterday, why are our people so gullible? If we don't stand for something, we'll fall for anything. It's just an old cliche. Because we so busy trying to address, and I know y'all going to think I'm bad, but this is what we've been working on. Me and the man have been working on this for about a year and a half here in Dothan, Alabama, along with some others. And the more we try to build race relations and doing race relations seminars and classes and forums, the more people want to try to get divided. But we going to win. Because I'm going to tell you this, until we as black folks, see, my thing now, I learned, and you know me and you had a conversation in your truck, sir. I learned. My problem is not white people. First of all, I got mixed children and all that. My problem anyway, my problem is black people. I put it on Facebook.
Black,
the worst
black.
Racism I ever seen in existence is black folks that's racist against other black folks.
That's right.
Now, white people were asking me, what are you talking about? I said, we suffer from the Willie Lynch syndrome. And this guy, Paul Blunt, me and him always conversing back on Facebook, and he's a white guy. And he said, well, you know, that might not be true, this and that and the other. I said, whether it's true or not, we suffer from the theory of believing that we have to fight each other. We cannot love nobody. We cannot get with nobody. We cannot build race relations until we build our own race. Now, that's one of the things that I've been putting on Facebook, and I know you've been seeing it, sir. You've been seeing, because we have got to a point to where we're so divided amongst ourselves, we can't do nobody else no good. I got more black folks that fight against me than I do white. White folks were anonymously, let me tell y'all something, man. Even when folks start ridiculing me, coming against me, making up all kind of lies and this and that against me, you got a whole bunch of white folks that came behind the scenes and anonymously tried to help me out. They said, don't tell nobody, but they'll help me out. And then let me know what black folks came to them with this mess.
That's right. That's
it shocked me. It hurt me so bad, I had to call you in the middle of the night, sir, for you to meet me in the parking lot in your truck and talk to me. That's how bad it hurt me about the way our own people do us. I ain't going to get off into it now because we're talking about Miss Deborah, but you know that's going to be one of my shows. I'm going to have to talk about my spiritual father who tried to castrate his own son. Right up there where you
are. I have a question.
Oh, I'm going to have to talk about him. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I have a question. I want to ask Mr. Thompson, how do you spell Kevin Harris' name?
It's K-E-L-V-I-N.
K-E-L-I-N?
K-E-L-V-I-N. V like Victor.
Kevin, right. Okay, Kevin. What last? Harris, T. Harris.
T-K-E-Y hyphen Harrison. H-E-R-R-I-N-G-T-O-N.
Okay, well, slow down. I got Kevin. T-K-E-Y?
Yes, hyphen Harrison.
Hyphen. Yes, Harrison? H-A-R-R-I-S-O-N?
No, H-E-R-R-I-N-G-T-O-N.
H-E-R-R-I-N-G. Harren. Okay, all right.
Harrington. Don't forget T-O-N on the end.
T-O-N,
yeah.
Okay, all right. And he's in the Lake Butler Correction Center.
Yes, sir.
Do you have his number?
Yes,
his,
sir.
Correction number?
His H is in Harry, 18087.
Could you start over one more time? H?
Harry, H is in Harry.
Okay.
18087.
Okay, H 18087.
That's correct. And because we got everybody involved, the prison inspectors and everybody involved, they got mad and they won't even hear him. Put him on the docket. They say they will not hear his case.
I got.
We don't usually. Let me interrupt y'all for a minute. We don't usually do this, especially online. And I know, sir, that listen, you're going to get on me on pride for doing this after the show. But if there's no qualms in it, and if I'm in legality, then would you mind giving this gentleman here? Matter of fact, I do it like this, so I stay within legality. I'm going to give you, sir, I got your number because I'm looking at it, and I'm going to text you her number if you don't mind me texting him your number, Ms. Deborah.
No, that's fine.
Okay, so I'm going to do that right now. So I'll be doing that now, sir. Don't answer your phone, but that'll be me calling your phone so I can send you her number, okay?
Okay, well, I got the information I need, and I just got a feeling, Ms. Thompson, and you at the Metro News, right, in Winter Haven, Florida, right?
Yes, sir.
Well, I don't want to build your hopes up, but I got a feeling that your grandson he's probably going to be getting out there. So you just hang tough, keep praying. I got a feeling some good things are going to happen. Keep going.
Amen. I thank God for you, my brother, and that's what I love about this show. It's so good when we can come together in unity on this radio and not know who and what we're talking to. That's the way God works in mysterious ways, just like that. You should be asking her number. come to your phone right now, sir. But if anybody else, oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Y'all going to make me preach in a minute, boy. If anybody else got something to say, I'm going to lie this young man here. Good God Almighty, this young man here, somebody with 407-600, you're live on Tops Radio. If you want to make a statement or say something to Ms. Deborah Thompson, we're talking about Kelvin Key Harrington. And Kelvin Key Harrington is in Lake Butler over there, and the Department of Corrections in Florida have requested for his medical conditional release, and the parole board states that they're not going to release him, feeling like he's a threat to society. However, they let a murderer out within 5 or 6 months ago. We're not going to mention that the murderer was white and Kevin, of course, is black. We're not going to mention that it seems like there's some unfairness there in some different kind of conditions. We don't understand. We're not going to mention that the parole board has no accountability and don't even have to explain why they feel that. We're not going to mention that they're going against their own governmental agency or sister agency, which is the Department of Corrections. We're not going to mention that Deborah Thompson herself has the Metro News and has been a civil rights advocate for over 30-something years, and the newspaper been there, Metro News, for 24 years. We're not going to mention that they tried to set her and her grandson and even her daughter up that don't even know, because she's in the county jail under mental disturbances, going through some mental conditions, not even knowing that they got a son and he's about to die in prison. We're not going to mention all that. We're just going to mention to you that justice is all we want.
Thank you, God.
All we want is justice.
Oh, God, thank you. Oh, thank you,
that's
God.
All we want.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
And I just thank God for you, my brother. 954, I thank you, brother. And whatever you can do, I thank you. I know you're a man of little words, but I know you're a man of action. I thank you. I just feel in my spirit. You're good. My brother who's listening, thank you. You've been there with me a long time. Thank you for being there with me today for Ms. Deborah. Reverend Daniels, go ahead and play us out, Reverend Daniels. I asked 407-600, did they have anything to say? They have not spoken, so go ahead and pray us out, Reverend Daniels.
I would just say don't take too much credence in the NAACP. As far as I'm concerned, all those black so-called civil rights organizations are defunct. I spoke against them at a convention years ago in the 70s. I had to come back, you know, to the Time and Place Committee and then make my report. And I said, I found that the Time and Place Committee, the atmosphere of the Time and Place Committee was diseased from a lack of not knowing God. It was diseased from a lack of not knowing God atmosphere. And then when they had the banquet, and Roy Wilkins was there, I was up to the head table, and someone said, "You know, y'all eating this food?" I said, "Ain't nobody pray."
Hello.
So he said, "This young minister say we need to pray," but they didn't let me pray. So somebody else prayed, of course. But I'm just letting you know, the NAACP, man, is a joke. And I put that cross there. Hey, I know what I'm talking about. I got proof. So, lady, let me tell you something. You know, you put your hope in God. You put your hope in those people, you know, who love God. And together, we can move.
Well,
amen.
I didn't tell you that husband is a pastor. He's a pastor also. And I just been married to him a few years, but he just got into walking the streets with me. He's never done it until he got with me. I walked the streets, so now he's doing it. But I trust in God. I am a woman of God, a woman of true faith, because if I hadn't had the faith, I wouldn't have gotten through what I got through when they had those two sentences against me along with my grandson and his mother. So by that, hope you know that I am a woman, and I thank you.
I can tell.
And I preached at their church, Reverend Daniels. I preached at their church, and I was received in the Spirit of God. And you could tell when you're in the right church with the right people, because the anointing just drop on you so fast and it's so magnificent. I just want to thank y'all again as we get ready to go. Go ahead, sir.
Well, I want to thank my brother. I hear him when he do speak. It was great. He's always on point. And
he's always on time.
So,
amen.
So in other words, you know, you can text me her number as well. You can text her my number, you know.
All right. I definitely will be doing that. As a matter of fact, I'm doing it as we speak. I'm sitting up here right now, texting her your number, texting her number to you, sir. And I just want to thank y'all for joining up with me. Y'all come on back tomorrow, same time, same place. And I was going to move it up to 5 o'clock. I think I like this 6 o'clock hour, unless Dennis will be back to take it on himself. And I just want to thank y'all for being there and for participating in our show tonight about Kevin T. Harrington and him being locked up over there in Lake Butler Medical Facility in Florida, Alabama, close around Orlando, Florida, and Polk City around there. And we just want to thank God for all of y'all and everything that you have said. We thank God for you, my brother, for coming on in and keeping up with the show and being there with the show, watching over me and being a watchman on the wall. You know who I'm talking to. Ain't no need to call him no name. Was understood? Ain't no need trying to explain. And we just thank all of y'all for being there today. This is Tops Radio, the Ordinary People Society. And all we want is justice. All we want is justice. We have tonight Sister Deborah Thompson, a longtime civil rights leader down there from Winter Haven, Florida, have the Metro News for 24 years in county, and is going national as of the start of this year. Look forward to it in your town, in your place. For those of you that want to send stories to us, and send them, you can send them to me, you can send them to Tops, or you can send them to Metro News at, what is that last email right there, Ms. Thompson?
joimail.com.
Amen, amen. So I'm going to get ready to end the show, but never I love. I'll get ready for a time to go, but we're always there. I'll get ready to give you a message, and I want it to be clear. So what I want for myself, I want for someone else. So I no longer see my neighbor as my neighbor, but I see my neighbor as I see myself, which is ordinary people, helping ordinary people, doing extraordinary things by the power in the Spirit of God, no will of our own. I said, come on, y'all. No will of our own. All glory. Come on, somebody say it with me. All glory. Come on, y'all. Say, I got to say it with me. All glory.
All glory.
All glory. All glory belongs to God. Hey, God bless you all. And thank y'all so much. See y'all tomorrow. The next day, we'll be having different people on here. Such as my brother, such as different people like Michael McBride, Desmond Mead, those that are in Florida that will be making a difference. God bless you.
Thank you.
Bless you.
Oh, yeah.